helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And with me is Indy Hansen. Indy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on.
Well, we're going to jump in and have a chance to hear a little bit about your story, how you came to faith. And I'm going to give a brief bio, but I don't want to be a spoiler. So I'll try to...
I don't think you will.
Well, just to say you're a second-year med student at Rocky Vista in just outside of St. George, Utah. You've lived in Utah, born and raised, and now a student leader within the CMDA local chapter. You also are in the Army and will be on active duty once you go into residency. So that's another part of your journey. Married for several years and high school sweethearts. And you have a fur baby named Maverick.
I do. You might hear him later if the mailman comes.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm going to leave it there because I think a lot of what we're going to discover is just how your background in Utah particularly has been a major part of your story and testimony. And so let's start there. Born and raised Salt Lake City, parents LDS, correct?
Yeah, so both of my parents, I think my mom converted at a later age in her teen years, sort of when she met my dad. My dad has been LDS his whole life, or has been, I should say. And that entire side of my family is LDS. My mom's side of the family, not so much, but my siblings and I grew up LDS.
So you grew up in the church. That's all you knew? That was the background you grew up in. You were on a football team, weren't you, in high school? You were an athlete? And
I was, yeah. I played football and basketball in high school.
Okay. And then went to college at BYU?
University of Utah. Go Utes.
I said that just close there. I know. I thought I knew that, but I wanted to just to get a rise out of you because I'm sure they're rivals in some way.
Oh, yeah. It's picking up this year. We're back in the same conference. So,
so you're at Utah. Did you play football at Utah?
I didn't. I was getting recruited to play football my junior and senior year of high school, and I had a few injuries that just kind of tanked that, and so I decided not to play college football.
Well, the reason I'm bringing up football because I remember hearing your story when Wes and I had a chance to visit you a little over a month ago, that there was a lot of hope, a lot of focus on football for you, and that injury kind of dashed those dreams, didn't it? And how did it affect what? Where were you with God at that moment? I mean, did that kind of unsettle your faith as you were thinking about, you know, God, why did you allow? You know, I had this great gift and talent. Now all of a sudden, I'm unable to play.
Sure. Yeah. It was hard for sure, especially since I had grown up playing football since I was 6, 7 years old. I had played really competitively. It was 24/7. It was my life. You know. And so when that route didn't work out for me, I guess I would say I was shaken a little bit. My personal relationship with God and Jesus kind of tanked. And I just, I was upset. I was very frustrated and wondering why those things would happen to me. I remember crying in the doctor's office, just sitting there with my dad in front of me and being like, why would this happen to me? It was my entire life. It was what I thought I was going to do. And yeah, it just didn't turn out that way. So I guess I would say my faith was shaken.
Sure.
For sure.
I mean, in those high school years later, you're still very much a part of the LDS Church. And then if so, when did you start? Because part of your story is you started to become disenchanted with the LDS.
Yeah. So all throughout high school, I would go to church every week. I was there every Sunday. I was pretty involved in the church. I don't know if I would say my personal relationship with God or Christ was necessarily a focus of mine. It was almost like I was checking a box, going to church every Sunday or so. And that was just a part of me because that's what I grew up knowing. And so that was it for me. Sort of when my disenchantment started was my parents, my senior year of high school, started filing for divorce. Right. And my parents ended up getting a divorce. And so just certain things that transpired with that. And throughout college, I would say was sort of when I fell away from the LDS church.
But you fell away from the LDS church, but you didn't fall into anything. You were just kind of agnostic or just didn't see any relevancy in God or faith or anything at that point. You were pretty self-reliant, self-sufficient individual, I imagine.
Yeah. It was, especially going into a university as a biology science major, it was science was the thing at that time for me. So it wasn't a big part of my life at all. I don't think I ever got to the point of full-blown atheism just because I studied biology and seeing how stuff worked. I was kind of like, science alone doesn't explain a lot of this stuff for me. So
you finished your degree at Utah. What prompted you to consider medical school?
It was actually football. Funny thing. And my injuries actually led me towards medicine. I saw, at least for myself, in some of the worst times of my life, I saw people that really stepped in to help me and return me to my sport. And so that was kind of the spark for me of wanting to help people return to their passions and what they love. And that's what kind of led me towards medicine. And so at the University of Utah, I did a biology degree, and it was medicine from there. And then over time, that's just really grown for me of wanting to help people with their passions, with their families, get back to what they really love, get back to their purpose in life.
Excellent. So you apply to medical school, get into Rocky Vista. You're also taking that trajectory. You're in the Army. You enlist in the Army, right?
Yep.
You go through what? It's like a boot camp or something, a kind of a training time?
Yeah, I went through officer training last summer. It was 6 weeks. I spent the first 3 weeks at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and then the second 3 weeks at Fort Sam Houston in Texas, San Antonio, Texas.
Okay. You know, you're there to get trained, to get prepared for a career in the Army, and yet you start to have these interesting conversations with a guy you get to know. Tell us a little bit about that. When did those conversations start? How did that relationship start? How did he start broaching this idea of having a relationship with Christ?
Yeah, it was through the grace of God alone. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't seeking it out. I guess when I arrived to training last summer, I was kind of distraught, sad, really, really anxious to be away from my family. I'd never been away from them before, and I was just going through a rough time. And the second or third day into it, we were riding a bus to go get our equipment. I sat next to this this guy named Garrison. Shout out Garrison. I'm sure he'll listen to this podcast later. But I just started talking to him about his faith. He started asking me about the LDS church. And he was the one who sparked the faith for me and looking into Christianity again, and sort of was the spark for me. Because I, during training, there was times on Sunday to go to religious services. And I watched a ton of people have this hope and have this rock that they were centered on, even throughout the waves of military training, they were centered. And so I was kind of wondering what that was and how they could do that throughout a time like this.
You were certainly hearing about a Jesus that the LDS Church talked about much differently. You were probably seeing a life lived out maybe differently. I mean, what were some of the things you were experiencing, the conversations you were having that were marking this out as, this isn't anything similar to what I grew up hearing. This is a completely different gospel. Really, this was the gospel of Christ alone, faith alone, and saved by trusting in his shed blood on the cross. I mean, what was the, what were some of the conversations like, and how were they provoking you to think about issues of faith differently?
I think those were the two biggest things for me. A was the history of the LDS Church and the history of Joseph Smith, and then faith alone, salvation through faith alone was a huge thing for me that just wasn't something I was aware of or completely understood until I had talked to him, because it's not as similar in the LDS Church, and I'm not a theologian in the LDS Church, so I'm not perfect in terms of their doctrine as well, but faith. Faith alone and salvation through faith was a massive thing for me that I think disenfranchises a lot of people, including my own family within the church. This need to be perfect and mark off certain tasks to receive certain things for me. without going into too much detail was a big thing.
No, but I know that there's a lot of works righteousness in the LDS Church and things that, you know, hoops that you have to go through. And to know, though, that that what Christ did on the cross was necessary for our salvation and sufficient, and that's all that was required was what he accomplished for us and for us to trust, to cling to that, to know that that him alone is the source of our salvation. I think, you know, that is obviously a different gospel than what you grew up hearing, but it was obviously a process for you too. You were thinking this was really adding it was creating a fertile soil for you to really start to consider these things more and more, was it not?
Yeah, 100%. It was always going back and comparing what I had learned growing up mm-hmm. to what I'm learning now and just sort of seeing the differences between the two for sure.
So you're having these great conversations. It's provoking your thinking. You've been wrestling with issues of faith now for some time. You start medical school and you are in an anatomy lab. Talk to us a little bit about what happened there and how that was kind of marked out for you, a kind of a moment of faith.
Yeah, it was incredible for me. I wouldn't say it was incredible at the time necessarily with the emotions I was going through. I had started medical school. I had received an interest, or at least my interest was sparked in faith mm-hmm. and in Christianity. And then I go into the anatomy lab, and it's my first time seeing cadavers in person because anatomy in undergrad was online, and so there wasn't that same visceral reaction. Mm-hmm. And so I show up to anatomy lab for the first time, and I'm looking at 12, 14 bodies laying there, especially the one that we're dissecting on. Mm-hmm. And it just hit me that I'm like, wow, the person that was here is not here. Whoever made mm-hmm. this person was not here. And so I had a major panic attack, and my mind was going all mm-hmm. over the place. I was having major cognitive dissonance. You know, I was learning science for the past 4 years. I have a sparked interest in faith. And so that really was it for me to be like, okay, there's something more to us than just what we see, our physical bodies and now I'm here.
Well, I know there's a lot of pieces in between because obviously you're here. The Lord's been discipling you through church and through, I mean, have there been some individuals that have come alongside you to kind of help you in this faith journey?
Yeah. The CMDA program was the biggest thing for me. That was mm-hmm. one of the first things I had joined when going to med school. It was like the first couple of weeks. I reached out to a couple of the guys there, started going, and it was my rock, and it mm-hmm. saved me throughout my first year of med school. Just having that to lean on, CMDA was huge. Just seeing people in the medical field that also had a faith in Christ was big for me. And then it sparked my interest to going into church again and just increasing my faith.
What's been your parents' response, family, brothers, or siblings, that is a younger brother and sister? I mean, what's been their response?
It's been good. I don't think they're at the same point as me, but I think they've had a renowned, they've re-looked at sort of their faith as well. My dad is a firm believer in Christ. My mom is as well. They don't go to the LDS church anymore. Mm. They don't go to church necessarily anymore, but they both have faith in Christ. My brothers and sister, my younger brother, it's fun to watch him. He starts wearing a cross around his neck now, and he believes in Christ too. And then my sister, she's coming to the faith more. For her, it was harder for her. The divorce was harder on her because she was younger. And so she was shaken up by a lot of things regarding that. And she's also a teenager in high school too. So I'm sure it's not on the forefront of her mind right now. So, but she's great. I love her.
Well, you've been walking with God since that moment and trying to live out integration of your faith and you know, practicing and learning about medicine. Obviously, there's some real challenges, spiritual battle, I imagine you've been facing. And I mean, like I said, it's not just been, you know, here you are now. There's been, I'm sure, a lot of challenges and tests and so forth. What are some of the things you've experienced, and what are the things you've identified as real spiritual warfare that one can get while they're a Christ follower in medical school?
Yeah, it's not just medical, I would say right now. I think we can all recognize that there's a big spiritual battle going on. Not only within our country, but throughout the world right now. And medicine isn't immune to that. We start to see things in medicine that may not even be healing the sick or what medicine ought to be or used to be. We start to see evil creep into that too. And so certain procedures or certain things that physicians have to do, they tax you. And we see physicians starting to leave medicine more and more now. And, you know, the medical education is geared a certain way. and so it's usually contrary to the faith in certain things. Not all of it is. There's a lot of good that comes from our training, but there's a lot contrary to the faith.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me of sharing with some University of Florida medical students. Dr. Bill Pearson has come up, has a video that we show that I need to send to you and other groups, really. It illustrates just how the medical education shapes us, especially if we're going in as a Christ follower, how it does everything to do to kind of reform and fashion us in a manner that really kind of takes us away from the very calling and vocation that we initially, you know, stepped into medicine in the first place, and how we become kind of a different product when we come out the other side of medical school. We'll just put it that way. But it's a great video. We'll try to put that in the show notes as well, because I think that that's worth watching. So you and several others take leadership in the CMDA chapter there. What's been going on with the chapter there at Rocky Vista in Utah?
It's been going awesome. We've had more members than I think we've had before, especially compared to last year. We've actually had a decent amount of LDS members just because of our location in Utah come to our CMDA meetings, and it's been fun to share the gospel with them. So
yeah, what are those conversations like? I imagine everybody's at a different place. Are they at similar places where they've been kind of disenchanted? They're at a kind of they have kind of this cognitive dissonance and trying to figure this out. Is that where the conversations usually start, or where?
I wouldn't say as much of that is taking place. Just more of focusing on unity right now. Focusing on making sure that we have an inviting area for people to talk about their problems or, you know, maybe what's on their mind. Our biggest thing right now is uniting against a common enemy. Because we also have different denominations that can be a challenge sometimes too, just amongst us Christians in the CMDA medical field. And so the biggest thing for me is just focusing on what unites us all and focusing on that common enemy right now in regards to that. And that's the biggest thing for us right now.
Well, good. Now, what's maybe this came up, I guess it did, with your football injury. What's specialty are you looking to get into, do you think?
You know, it always changes for me, but I actually always go back to pediatrics. I got to work at a pediatric clinic for 3 years in undergrad, and I just fell in love with it. If you would have asked me a couple of years ago, I was dead set on orthopedic surgery just because of the football injuries, but God does amazing things, and I had never expected to work at a pediatric clinic, and here I am. I love kids. I love working with kids, and I love being a protector to kids as well, because speaking of the medical system, kids are probably the most under attack right now in regard to that field, and it's hard for them to have a voice for themselves just because they're so young, and so I love to be a light in that field too. And then with the Army, you get to do fun things. And so you get to do like operational medicine and stuff like that too with my time in the Army. So, but pediatrics is where I'm leaning right now.
All right. Fantastic. Well, how do you see CMDA being a part of your journey moving forward? I know you said it was a big part of, you know, launching into your training, but as you know, CMDA, as you've met doctors and others in the community around you who have been a part of CMDA through their entire vocational career, how do you see CMDA playing a part in your role moving forward as a as somebody who's going to, you know, be a pediatrician in the Army?
Yeah, it's going to be an integral part. I think a lot of the things that I've learned throughout CMDA is that you can't separate your faith from your vocation. You have to integrate the two. And we have a great faculty advisor at our school, Dr. Minton, who's a member of CMDA, who has taught us so many great things, praying with patients, just being a light in the field of medicine. And so throughout residency, just staying true to the faith. And then as a physician as well, I think there's going to be some tough battles for a lot of us moving forward. And I think CMDA has the resources we need legally, spiritually, and mentally to to tackle on those, to tackle on those challenges. So it's going to be a huge part, and I plan on making it a massive part of my practice. And yeah.
Fantastic. Well, kind of as we kind of wrap up our time together and, you know, bring our time to a close, is there anything you'd want to say to fellow students, things that just encourage them? You know, you've had a unique, again, story, but I think what's not always unique is that to think that people find Christ in med school. I think that's the encouraging thing for me is, you know, it can sometimes seem as if people are so locked in of who they are, but, you know, God's at work and His Spirit is breaking in people's hearts and lives. And I would tell you, Indy, that there are countless other stories I'm hearing of men and women coming to Christ in medical school. So that is a tremendous testimony. So as you kind of speak to students at large, what would you say to them?
I would say, don't be afraid to speak up and continue to build the faith. You know, we all know the good news. We've read the book. We know what's going to happen. We will be persecuted for His name, and that's okay. You need to be comfortable and okay with that. And I am. I've told all the students there that if you speak up, if you say something and you get in trouble, I'll have your back and we'll come to your aid. As the president, you know, you gotta help and do those things. So don't be afraid to speak up. We answer to God. We don't answer to people. We don't answer to other physicians. We don't answer to our attendings. I mean, we do, but at the end of the day, we answer to God, and having your faith rooted in that is my biggest advice.
Wonderful. Well, good word. Thank you. And it was, again, a privilege of just seeing what the Lord is doing, not only in your life, but there on campus, being with Dr. Minton and his family, and just excited about what's going on at that school, and continuing to pray. You know, Dr. Minton has been an integral part, but you know, he's recent. You know, his role there was recent. There was Barbara Hulk, Dr. Hulk. She was, I believe, the campus advisor there for many years. And so, again, you've benefited from a long legacy of individuals who have invested and continue to invest on campuses like RVU and other places. And so someday you get to pay it forward. Someday you get to be Dr. Minton and be able to invest in other students' lives like it was invested in yours. Mentoring is such a big part of the success of seeing individuals be able to walk faithfully with the Lord. So, Indy, again, thank you for taking the time. Thanks for sharing your story. And again, just excited about what the Lord is doing there at RVU. So God bless, brother.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Well, this is the time of the podcast where we share some things that you need to know. First of all, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the CMDA Student Life app. Let me tell you, this is the place where we communicate, we give you the resources and everything you need to stay connected with CMDA. On the app, you can join CMDA, and that's one thing we encourage you to do. Stay connected with CMDA by joining. And here's the good news, as a student, joining is absolutely free, but the resources you're going to get are priceless. So stay connected with CMDA by joining. Also, through the Student Life app, there's resources for downloadable Bible studies, the podcast is on there, and all kinds of ways to stay connected and be informed about CMDA. So download that app and get connected. Also, one last thing that you need to know is if you want to stay connected with some of the more late-breaking news and information, we're on the socials. We're on the Facebook, the X, and Instagram. And so simply find us at the handle at CMDA Student Life, and we've got all kinds of information there as well. So, as always, we look forward to talking to you next time on the next episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse Podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.